Sunday school last Sunday, it mentioned about John the Baptist being a forerunner to Christ, a witness. We had the dealings with Zacharias and the angels to the shepherds in announcing the Lord's birth. Anyway, I was thinking about how I've been impressed with the word of witness and establish. And God used not just one thing, but He used many different things to establish the coming of Christ and what the Lord was doing. And He's done that, you know, in creation. He established the earth and all things that are in the earth. But things concerning the kingdom of God and the word of God, the Lord has taken great pains to establish it. It wasn't something, one place he said this wasn't done in a corner, in other words. It's not based on just hearsay. But there were eyewitnesses. God has had eyewitnesses and things to establish. The word establish means to set and fix firmly or unalterably, to settle permanently, confirm. You know, the Lord wants He wants His people to be established too. And we have, I think about the song that sings, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord." Talks about for our faith in His excellent word. What more can He say to you than what He has said? The Lord has laid a strong foundation. Something that we can depend upon, something that we can trust in. You know, it was mentioned, I believe, last Wednesday night about how the sun comes up every day and the seasons, and they're on time. We trust in it. We depend upon those things. God established that. And He's established things according to His Word also. And I wanted to start in Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter, and the 6th verse, it says, "At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So thou shalt put the evil away from among you." So this was, you know, when they had the Israelites, this was a civil law. When someone was murdered, there had to be two or three witnesses that saw what happened. They couldn't put someone to death just for one witness. And we can see the value to that, the benefit that they would be, that it would be something that was established, something that they could testify to. Now I know in a court of law, when they have trials, the witnesses don't come in and they listen to everything going on. That's not. The witnesses are kept separate. And they bring them in when it's their turn to witness. They don't know. They hadn't heard what was happening. They haven't heard any other evidence. They just come in and they share what they saw, what they heard, or what they experienced. And then they leave. They question them. They share. Then they're cross-examined, they ask them questions, and then they leave. They don't hear everything that's going on. They can't formulate opinion just by the things that are coming from the trial. And God has brought witnesses. He has witness to us, and He's left Himself witness of His workings and dealings in life. I want to get another scripture now in 1 Timothy 5 and 19. It's the nature of God, in the nature of God for things to be established. He don't like shady deals. He don't like things done. And I believe the Lord wants us to abide by the laws of the land. As long as they don't cross the laws of God, He wants us, and I've read recently about Jeremiah, how Jeremiah, he bought land and he said, have it recorded. You know, when we take care of our business, we purchase land or house or something like that, there's a title. They record that. They have property boundaries. It's not just, I own to that tree over there and this over here and this is all mine. They don't do that. There's markers that pinpoint where the boundary lines are at. It's not just hearsay or what. It's established. They have people that go out and survey, and they have directions. They have legal things that tell you where the boundary lines are at. And I'm thankful it's that way. just to have neighbor fighting neighbor said, well, that tree was the boundary. No, that tree was the boundary. God has established His word to us. 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter and the 19th verse. 1 Timothy 5 and 19. It says, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And I believe in one place it talks about that every word may be established. You know, there are a lot of hearsay things. There are a lot of rumors. There are a lot of things that happen. And you know the account, you tell one person, they tell another person, they tell another person, they tell another person. And it's different when it gets to the end. But it said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. God doesn't want us basing things on just hearsay. He wants it established. He wants faithful witnesses. And we do business. God wants us to do, you know, our business that way. Well, it's that way in the Word. God has taken great time and pains to establish His kingdom. And we talked about this morning in Sunday school, it was mentioned about the 12 apostles. They were witnesses. John said, we have heard, we have touched, we have handled the Word of life. They lived with Him. They saw Him. They saw Him crucified. They saw Him resurrected. It was 12 witnesses. You know, today it's us against the world. Most of the world don't live for God. Most people do their own thing. There's a tidal wave of ungodliness and wickedness and evil in the world. And I'm thankful that God, you know, if we just look at the numbers, it's like, we're outnumbered. And it can make you feel insecure. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're right. There's so many that are doing it that way. But I want to say this morning, God has established. He has set standards. He set His Word, His truth that's forever settled in heaven. And it's not going to change. It doesn't change with the ideas of men and the hearsays of man and the passing notions and fancies of mankind. It doesn't do that. The Word of the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has established waymarks. He's established things for us. In all of His dealings from Adam all the way down to us, He has left testimony after testimony that give us testimony. the right direction, even though the world is going a different way. It's a waymark. It's a testimony. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And I'm thankful today that God has taken time to establish. I want to get Acts 2 and 32. Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 32. It says, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear." They were witnesses. They saw, and they heard, and they were there. Acts 3 and 15 mentions this word witness. I'm surprised how many times it's in the Scripture, but it's over and over. Acts 3 and 15, it said, "And kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." They saw and they heard. And it was more than one witness. It wasn't just based on one person's testimony. Another scripture is Acts 10 and 41. Acts 10 and 41, it said, let's read 38, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin." So it said, to him give all the prophets witness. Now I want to get another scripture. 2 Peter 1 and 16. Peter says here, 2 Peter 1:16, it says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." Is that what you want to follow? I don't. We're basing our eternal life on how we live our life. We don't want to base it on fables. When I get to the end of the way and stand before God, I don't want to have lived my life just on fallacy or something that's untrue or just by hearsay. I want to be able to have it established. My life, I want it to be according to the testimony of God. I want to be able to stand there before Him and say, hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You believed my word. You followed my word. You heard the testimonies." We don't want to follow hearsay. We don't want to follow fables. They're dead ends. They'll lead the wrong direction. They'll cause us to lose our home. And he's saying, we have not followed cunningly devised. Something that looks, real attractive. Devised. Something that was really concocted up and looked real good. We haven't followed that. He said, "When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For he that received from God the Father honor and glory, When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Now they heard that. They heard the Lord say to them, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." They heard that voice. But now listen to what it says. Verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." He's talking about the Scriptures, the prophetic writings that foretold Christ. We have many, many prophecies of Christ, that Christ, when He came, it wasn't that He just showed up and lived His life, but He fulfilled the Scriptures. And Jesus was always talking about that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. He was always talking about the fulfillment of the Scriptures. And that's what He was saying here. You know, sometimes I would have been I'd like to have been there and seen the Transfiguration and heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." But what He's saying is, we have something more sure than that. We have something. You know, sometimes when you... have you ever questioned, "Did I really see that? Did I hear what I think I heard?" You know, sometimes we always question some of the things that we see and what we hear. And when we, you know, someone next to us, "Did you see what I saw? Did you hear the same thing?" "Yeah, I saw and heard that too." But He's saying, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Christ fulfilled the Scriptures. Everything that was spoken about Him, He fulfilled them. His crucifixion, His birth, everything that was prophesied, He fulfilled the Scriptures. No one else has done that. Everyone else claiming were thieves and robbers. They didn't come in through the gate. They didn't come in through the right channel. But He came through the gate. He came through the right channels that God had ordained for Him to come through. And He fulfilled them. And He lived them. And we have a strong witness for our faith this morning, that we can trust in Him. I also wanted to get this Scripture in 1 John, the 5th chapter. 1 John 5 and 1, it said, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is the born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous." So if we say that we love God, then we would keep His commandments. If I say I love God and I don't keep His commandments, then I'm not doing right. I'm being deceitful. We must keep His commandments. "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He had testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. When we give our hearts and our lives to God, I was thinking about this. You know, we repent of our sins. We make our wrongs right. We turn around from doing the things. We make a change in our life. When we repent, we're born again, we make a change. You know, baptism is like a public record. It's like going and recording your property, your boundary. Baptism is done. It doesn't save us, but it's a testimony that I have been saved, that I'm redeemed, that I'm no longer the person I used to be. And other people see it. It's a testimony to people, and there are witnesses there that see. It's like a public statement. It's so important for us. It's so vital for us to be established that we go through the loops. You know, a lot of times in doing things, I remember to get my contractor's license in Oregon, it looked like a huge thing. And there was a lot to do. The biggest part was going to class and studying this book and learning all the answers for the, had nothing to do with construction, how to put up a door or put cabinets on the wall. Nothing like that at all. It was all about the laws of the land. But you go through all the loops. You do all the little things they require you, and pretty soon you get your license. You know, that's the way it is in serving God. Pilgrim's Progress, one guy came up and he just jumped in the way and started going. And he said, "Where'd you come from?" "Oh, I came over the wall." He said, "You got to come in at the gate. You got to be able to get your... You got to be certified." If I can put it that way. When you get to the end, you've got to stand with your papers there in Pilgrim's Progress. But people do that. Just kind of mingle in with the crowd. "Oh yeah, I'm going along with you." That's not the way it's done. We got to go through all the little loops. We got to follow the things that God has given us, the witnesses, the testimonies that He's given us in the Scriptures. We got to follow those and do them. And when we do those, we're certified. Beg the expression, or pardon the expression, we become certified. You know, certification means that they pass certain credentials or whatever it is. They pass those things so they can do the job, do the task. The Lord wants us to be certified. Certified people of God. Certified Christian. I've been passing the exams. I've been going, doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing. It's so vital for us today. I'm thankful. God has given great testimony. When you read this, John, when you read this book of John, he's so confident. Listen to what he says. He says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son." The record. All these words, record, witness, establish, they point out something that's established, something that's firm, something that's not gainsaid. God has given us a record, a good record. "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petition that we desired of Him. But all through this, He talks about the confidence, things being established and settled. And I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad that God has not left it unsettled. He has established points on the map, on the journey through life. He has established testimonies. He's established places for us that we can trust and have confidence in. I want to go now to Acts 1 and 8. But this verse here mentions that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. If we have the Spirit of God living in us, the Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Acts 1 and 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth." Now, we are part of the witness. We are to be witnesses. God has used His Spirit as a witness. In the world today, His Spirit witnesses to people's hearts. He convicts people. His Word is a witness to people. The written Word of God. Many people have a knowledge of the written Word of God. Some of them don't like that they have that knowledge, but many people have. It's amazing how much Bible people can quote, people know. That's a witness. The Word of God is a witness. But also our life is a witness to people. The Lord wants us to live our lives to be a testimony. It wants it to be a witness to people. And I know it is whether we say anything or not. People tell. People can tell real quick if we're genuine or if we're not. They can tell if we're a fake or if we're not. We want to be able to have our life to witness to people. That they can look in our lives and say, they live right. They live honest. They're going the right direction in their lives. Lord, help us today that our lives would be a witness. And God uses those things. You know, there is something very special about just a plain testimony, a witness of what God has done for us in our own lives. When people hear our testimony and we're able to share with them, the Lord uses that along with the witness of the Spirit and the Word to bring conviction. He uses those witnesses to bring conviction. But just a simple testimony of what God has done for us in our lives, what He's doing, how He's working with us, how He's dealing with us, the dealings that He's had with us in our lives. That's a witness, and God wants us to be able to share our testimony and our witness. You know, Paul, different times, he was brought before the... And that's what a witness is. They don't formulate something on their own. They don't formulate a witness. They just come in to the court and tell them, this is what I've seen. This is what I heard. And that's all we want to do. That's all God wants us to do, is to be a witness. And God will use that. Lord, help us to be a faithful witness. God blesses that, and He uses that to bring conviction and to help deal and work with people. So we become His witnesses. Another scripture I wanted to get is in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. In the first verse it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." You know, this is right after the chapter on faith, the heroes of faith. This is right after all of talks about Abraham, how God dealt with Abraham, Moses, how God dealt with Moses, all the things that the children of Israel went through and what God had done for them. And then he says, "Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We're compassed with a great cloud of witnesses. And not only the heroes of faith, but people that have lived faith in our lifetime. People that have known the Lord that we have known growing up. I know we all have those that we have that have touched our lives in one way or another. Their life stands for a witness to them. It's a testimony. It's a way mark. You know, they did it. We can do it too. They live for God. They serve God. Also, it mentioned about David. We don't have to turn there, but Isaiah 55 said, "I have given him for a witness to the people." David, the sure mercies of David. You know, David, God established a covenant with David. And even when David failed, David repented and God restored him and restored the covenant with him, didn't cast him off. And he was a witness to the people of how God blessed him and God worked with him. God wants to have the same covenant with us. He wants to have a covenant with us in our life. And he was a witness for us. And we can have... there are so many things that God has given us, testimonies. But I've heard in my life witnesses, people that have known God and how God dealt with them. That's a source of strength. That's a source of an encouragement. That's an example for us to be able to follow. And I'm thankful today that we live, that God has done all these things. He has put great effort into establishing His work with mankind. He's put great effort into it. If mankind misses it, it's not God's fault, because He has given Himself witness to people. Let's be encouraged today. There are so many things. I believe God, when He leads us in our lives, He gives us witness. When it comes to making choices and decisions, we need to wait upon the Spirit of God and His Word to bear witness to our hearts and to our lives. He said in one place there in Isaiah, He said, "When you turn the left hand, turn the right. There's going to be a voice behind me. There's going to be a witness." Let's wait and allow God to lead us in our lives. He'll witness to our hearts the truth. He'll witness the right way, the right decision, if we're willing to wait upon Him. And if we're willing to look to Him with an honest heart, desiring His will above our own will, He'll witness to our hearts and our lives of the right way. And we can walk in it safely. You know, the Holy Spirit and the Word of the Lord, they don't lead us wrong. They won't lead us falsely. They won't lead us down a dead-end road. They lead us in a good path, in a right way, established way. Places where you can, you know, who likes to walk across slippery rocks? You like to walk across rocks that's got moss on them? It's the way it is in Oregon. All their streams, there's a lot of moss up there and rocks. And you slip, you slide. I remember one year we about lost Randy got too close to the edge. He slipped on the mud. He slipped on the rocks and trying to grab a hold of something. And he was sliding almost right above a waterfall. We're very thankful God spared him. But you know, our Christian life doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to slip on slide on every little thing that comes along. We can have a witness. We can have the testimony. We can have a calmness and a comfort and assurance in our heart when God leads and when God, if we'll wait on Him and look to Him. Sometimes it takes time to get the Lord's witness and His bearings. But wait on Him. He'll give it. Because He wants us to know His will and His way. Anyway, I was just so blessed thinking about all these scriptures that God has gone through great effort. It's not based on hearsay. It's not based on just man's ideas, what man has concocted. But it's been established. It's been settled. And we can know, if we go through the loops and we follow, we know, John said, we know we have eternal life because we followed Him. And we can too. Thank you for your attention. Pray for me.